This episode of Fuel for the Soul is powered by ASICS. Head over to ASICS.com and sign up for a one ASICS account. It's completely free, and when you sign up, you will receive 10% off your first purchase. You'll also gain access to exclusive colorways on ASICS.com, free standard shipping, special birthday month discounts, and more.
Hi, this is Thomas from Believe in the Run.
This is Megan with Believe in the Run.
And this is Megan with Featherstone Nutrition.
And you're listening to Fuel for the Soul.
Where was your AKA?
Oh, damn it.
So out of practice.
Say your name again.
And this is Megan with Featherstone Nutrition.
AKA the straw sipper, the New York Marathon dancer, the high five and high jumping feathers coming out of left field from nowhere.
Wow. I like that we go from 0 to 60 with that every time.
That's off the cuff.
That was off
That's
the cuff.
That's how you know.
Yeah. We got real girl powered up in that, like, real high jump.
I got to say, like, there's one photo from years ago where I was running a marathon for fun. Because I was actually thinking back because I was watching you guys having so much fun. And I was like, did I ever have that much fun running a marathon? And I did one time with Stein. And actually, we knew each other at the time.
Yeah.
And there's a photo of me jumping off the ground like 20 feet in the air. I don't even think at this point I could get my feet off the ground that high. But to see you jump up and hit that sign, I was like, oh, my God. That's how you know when someone's having fun, when they're getting airborne during a race.
I'm glad she happened to catch it because we didn't have the GoPro on the whole time. But I saw that and I was oh, I'm going for it. And I looked over and I was like, oh, she got it. She got that one.
Well, and I wasn't even sure I did because, you know, there's a little bit of a delay when you hit the power button. And so, yeah, I was, when I got home and uploaded all that content, I was like, yes, honey.
There it is.
So that's good.
Yeah. Zero fun hat out there.
Yeah.
And I'm actually mad that you guys had so much fun.
I was worried you might be.
I'm like, I'm out there suffering. You guys go drinking Friday night and then... You didn't take it easy. You even had a couple drinks the night before. Like, this is all for fueling. So if you want to run a 3:20 marathon, start off running a sub 3-hour marathon and then do as these ladies do. But then you guys, and then you had a blast. And I was trying to take it all serious, trying to get rest.
That was our number one goal, was to have fun, like the entire weekend, including the race.
My number one goal was to have fun, too.
Oh, no.
But, you know, that's the thing about race day is, like, you can prepare as best to your abilities with training, with nutrition, and, like, you can just have a bad day. And it sucks because it all comes down to one day, and really everything has to align.
It does, but, you know, it's weird because I'm, like, saying to myself, if I have a really bad day, I'm running in the 340s, you know, somewhere around there. And that's, in my mind, that's where I was thinking a bad day was going. I'm calling up Jarrett, Widefoot Jarrett, the night before. Hey, if I feel good, I'm going to leave you. But if I don't feel good, you got to stay with me.
As a true friend does.
Fortuitous.
Yeah. Fortuitous. Yeah. I know. I actually
did
feel...
Just in case you don't know the marathon story, I finished about 2.5 hours behind the ladies.
No.
2 hours.
Less than two hours.
But that's you guys... At your peak, you guys could run 2 marathons in the time I ran one.
I don't know if I could do back-to-back, though. I don't know. I'd have to, tag off to Meg, and she could do the second one, which wouldn't be nearly
Meg
as
won't
fun.
Meg won't do 50-milers anymore.
Yeah, no. That was a one-and-done situation.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
So I guess people want to know how you fueled.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
And then how you fueled for recovery. And then, Megan, you're back doing runs, like, how are you fueling those?
Yeah,
after
so
an effort like that,
we treated this marathon more like a long run, in the sense that we were not doing race pace at all. We were doing a comfortable pace. We were a little bit more casual about everything, and I mean, like, from the carb load to actual amount of carbs per hour we got in, we were not overly like, we have to nail this, because it was a fun long run for us.
But it's still fueling for the marathon, and it's still recovering from the marathon. And I think actually the more important part of it, considering that you guys continue to run after the marathon is how do you make sure that you stay healthy post effort like this? And maybe mm-hmm. it's not your hardest effort and you're stressing out your system to the max degree, but still it's 26 miles. You guys weren't running what I would call, like, you made it look easy, but that can't be easy over 26.2 miles. It's still a long distance run, so it's still taking something from your body.
Yeah, I mean, a marathon's never easy, right? Like, your legs don't really want to run that far. I don't know. I feel like I had some moments where I was like, I could be done now. And then I'd be like, get back in it. This is so fun, you know? I don't know that Meg had those feelings.
Was it up Fifth Avenue?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Always. Yeah. And then that final.
That thing is a beast.
It's hard. That was a part where I was like, we could be done now and I'd be cool with it. But then you get back into Central Park and people are going crazy and you have some downhills and it's like, this is amazing. I don't want it to end. And then it ends and you're like, okay, we can be done.
Yeah. So we did carb load. Oh, I have to say, speaking of recovery, we talked about this in the last podcast, Megan. You were like, in my dream world, they would have a yes. protein shake with 30 grams of carbs in your finisher bag on ice. It wasn't on ice, but we did have a Gatorade protein recovery shake in our finisher bag.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so you and I didn't even really want it at the end, but we chugged it because we knew that we needed to recover really fast. So it was perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, and it wasn't gross. It was fine. It was 30 grams of protein. There was pretzels, some salt, some carbs. They had adequate protein. Somebody who was a part of making the bags actually asked me if I approved, and I thanked them for the 30-gram protein shake. And, you know, so, I mean, I feel like all in all, it was a great recovery bag for after a marathon.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so let's tell everyone how we fueled this long-run marathon that we did.
I love it.
We stuck with our typical Morton gels. Mm-hmm. However, we planned to take 6, and you and I were both in the village getting all of our, tucking them in all the places, and we left one on the table for the one that we would carry to the start and take, and both of us left it there.
When you were like, oh, I don't know if I can take my first gel. It was 30 minutes and I was getting mine out. And Meg's like, I don't know if I can take mine. I didn't bring enough. I accidentally left one. And the first thing that went in my head was like, oh, crap, man, she needs another gel. And then I start ruffling around and I'm like, wait, I left one too. So we were one gel short. We took one at the start line. But then that meant that we adjusted and we took a gel every 5 miles instead of every 30 minutes like we're used to, which... honestly, I thought it worked okay with our intensity being lower, and we did do, I called it a carb load light, right? We didn't go like all in like I would for a race, but you know, we certainly ate bagels and like lots of graham crackers in the morning and all that jazz that we always talk about. Plus, we'll talk about my fluid situation in a minute, but I did have 2 servings of scratch. So, you know, there was like some extra carbs in there, but I felt great out there. I didn't feel underfueled at all. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I agree. I felt like, although it was maybe one gel less than would have been ideal for the day, I think it was fine. And especially because our effort levels were not race pace,
right.
I think that it was enough. And that is partially why I was so adamant about getting the protein in right afterwards, because I knew we were a little bit maybe underfueled out there, so wanted to get back as fast as we could.
Right.
Quick question about carb loading. You guys handed out carb boxes.
Mm.
You handed them out the Saturday before the thing, and they look pretty packed. Can you tell me what was in the carb box?
There were 4 bagels, 4 bags of pretzels, 2 bags of animal crackers, a sleeve of graham crackers, 2 packages of fruit snacks, and 4 packs of Pedialyte electrolytes.
That seems like a ton. Would that normally be the night before you would eat that much that was in the carb box?
I mean, in an ideal world, people would have gotten that 3 days out so they could use that for the whole carb load instead of just the day before. But we had plenty of carbs that we could share and split amongst ourselves. I shared some of my bagels with Jess Movald so that she had bagels in the morning to fuel her marathon.
So Thomas tried for the second time, the new Morton bicarb, and Thomas, tell us about it.
All right, so the good news is, while my performance during the marathon was in the crapper, the bicarb didn't make me get into the crapper. So it actually works really, yeah, it really works well. I liked it. It's a little complicated. I had ended up having to throw a little bowl that they give you to mix it up in, but I mean, you can use any bowl. It takes 200 milliliters of water, which you said was around 6.6 or 6.8 ounces of water. You mix in the gel. And the first time I tried it for a workout, it didn't mix properly because they just kind of showed a video of it and they're like, pour it into the bowl. And I didn't stir it. You definitely want to stir it once you pour it into the bowl. And that kind of creates that gel that you're familiar with Morton. So that creates kind of like that viscous kind of gelatin kind of syrupy gel. And then you have the final ingredient, which are these little balls of, like, I guess it's like baking soda or bicarb. What is it?
Yeah, it's like baking soda. Yeah, that's all it is. Yeah.
Okay. They look like styrofoam balls, little tiny balls. And you stir them in, and it kind of, you let it sit for a little, or right after you stir it in, you're supposed to eat it. So you wait a few minutes for the gelatin to kind of gel up, put the balls in, stir them in, and then you're supposed to eat it immediately.
Like soup.
Yeah, it's not the most appetizing thing that you're going to want to eat, but it's also not that bad. It's semi-sweet, and the one problem I had is that you really want to chew. And when you chew, you break open a baking powder pellet. So that's not good.
Sounds
so you
terrible.
Really want to kind of like slurp it down.
Can you remind me what it's supposed to do? Like, what is the performance-enhancing thing?
So it's supposed to help neutralize some of the acid that's produced by our muscles when we're working at a higher intensity, so that you could potentially push your intensity higher for longer when you have that on board. So that would be like the 1% improvement from it would be from, you know.
And that's, they pretty much talk about, because I asked, I was like, can I drink coffee with this? Because I wanted to slurp it down and then have some coffee. The very first time I tried it. And Meg, the first thing you said, it actually neutralizes some of the
acid. They said it was good because it neutralized the acidity from the coffee.
Interesting.
So it was good to do both at the same or around the same time.
Yeah.
I found no issues with my gut, no issues with as far as taking that stuff goes. And then I did use a 360 Morton, and now I'm traumatized with the...
You mean 160?
160. Mm. I'm traumatized with... And I also ate the solid that morning.
A lot of Morton in there.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, here's my issue now. You know I already had a little bit of a problem with the Morton gels.
Yeah.
And the only time I've had this thing where there's, like, phlegm going down my windpipe and then causing me to cough and cough uncontrollably until I cough up blood has happened when I've used Morton gels. And I feel like the stickiness of that gel somehow stays around in my throat or something. And as I'm breathing in like this sticky stuff. And even though I only had one Morton 160.
I keep telling them it's not the Morton, it's something
else.
Yeah,
but even if it is, it's in my head now.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
yeah,
no more Morton.
Well,
no,
the Never Second is what you trained with, right? And you it worked really well for you.
I used that on the course. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the thing I still love about that, it's one of the easiest things to get down. Mm-hmm. Like for me, it's closer to liquid than it is to gel. So it's still kind of syrupy, but it's definitely more liquid like than goo.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can get that down, and I was able to, and even though, and like, look, I knew at a certain point my race was over. I mean, I was walking like it was a march to Central Park. But I still took the Never Second gels that I packed because I thought, well, I'm out here. I'm still burning calories, and actually I'm going to be out here even longer.
Yeah, 100%.
I still need to have...
I'm glad you did.
...have the calorie intake.
Yeah.
But are we getting to the finish part? Like, we're...
Well, so I want to... Megan, we tested... Rather, you tested a couple... hydration tactics out there that we had discussed, one being refilling your water bottle, which you had already done, but you did again, and then the straw trial. So tell us about that.
Okay, I'm going to save the best for last, which is the straw. So with the water bottle, I did it different this time. So last year, I literally stopped and asked them to refill it. This time I had observed that there was like literally 20 cups of water in a row that people could take. So there was no one in front of me when I wanted to refill it. So I just opened my bottle and literally jogged through the entire line and was like, dump, 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 dump from all the cups because there was no one in front of me. It's not like I was stealing water from someone. And it worked perfect. Like I filled the whole thing up with like maybe six dumps of cups. I did get my shoes really wet, which was a little sloshy for a second because, you know, I didn't pour very well. But yeah.
That's my curious thing, though. Like, I felt like they were pretty consistent on the pours of the water.
Mm-hmm.
How many ounces do you feel was in each cup?
Well, I bought a 16-ounce bottle this time instead of 20 because it was way cheaper and I knew I was only going to use it once before I threw it. So I was like, I'm not going to buy my good one. So 16 ounces, it was 5 or 6 cups. So I would say there was probably 3 ounces per cup because I probably didn't get it all in there. Yeah, I think that's maybe 4 ounces. That would be like half a cup. But yeah, it worked really well. The ladies were laughing at me. I can't wait to see. We have it on video. We'll share it with all you guys. But I can't wait to see. I feel like the ladies were like, what is this chick doing? So I'm curious, if, like in the video, if they really were very confused. Because in the moment, I felt like they were very confused by me. But it worked great. The only regret I have was I normally put my scratch. I open the scratch container and like drop it into the empty water bottle and just shake it. And this time I filled it with water first, so then the scratch blew everywhere when I opened it because I was trying to pour it from the top instead. It was I was covered in sticky. I think it was one of the bridges I did it on, and my hands were sticky, so I had to, you know, get some water and wash those off real quick. But it worked great. I needed it. I needed a second bottle.
Do you feel like you can, when you go to a water station and you have a volunteer, can you tell who's run a race before and who hasn't?
I would say not many of them had. Like, I didn't get the vibe.
But also the interactions are so fast that happen. It's, like, really hard to gauge.
But I feel like either they coach some people, and they're like, here's how you hand in a cup. Like, this is what the runners are going to do.
Yeah.
And some people don't know how to do it. Like, you had some people that would hold the cup from the top and try to hold it to you. Other people would just put it out in their hand or hold it,
you know,
like, low. And obviously the best way for us is if you're holding it low, we can come in and pinch the top and keep running. But I do feel like maybe New York is pretty good about it. Maybe they coach the volunteers.
Now I can't remember how they had it. I would have said they were holding the top and I grabbed the bottom.
Well, do you know?
It was all different.
It was like, different. Yeah. Okay.
They were, I don't know. I never they were all over the that. Lot.
As a runner, do you know what your responsibility is?
No.
You're supposed to point to the person that you want to cut.
I always try to make eye contact.
Yeah, so I definitely make eye contact. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I see, I'm more of a cup eye contact. Like I look at the cup and I point to the cup and then look up at the person.
See, I'm more worried about runners around me. Like I don't want to run in front of someone or trip someone or prevent someone from getting their water. I'm more worried about that than the actual volunteer.
Yeah, you're worried about the runners. We saw the video of you almost hitting a little.
Oh, God. Okay, that's next. That's the next conversation. I feel so bad. I had no idea she was there. Okay, so
you're so concerned.
We refilled the water really, really well. But the other thing was, you guys, some of your listeners had recommended when I talked about how I can't drink out of those cups, and I still can't. Like, I tried, and I just can't do it. So people had said to put a straw into the corner of a cup and then pinch the cup in front of the straw and just drink it like you would drink out of a straw. So then we were joking around in the last podcast saying it should be an edible straw. And then one of you was like, they make edible straws, Megan. They're Twizzlers. They make a special Twizzler. So of course we had to buy some. I put 3 in a little baggie, hooked them into like a loop on the side of my shorts and ran half the marathon with Twizzlers hanging off the side of my hip. So we decided to try this. I put it in. Epic fail. First of all, it was way too long. So it was like splashing everywhere and there's this like long Twizzler coming out of the cup. And I did get a little bit, but it was splashing absolutely everywhere. I think I spilled more of the water than I could possibly have ingested. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to try one more time. And it was a disaster. So I just tossed it. And that's what Thomas is saying. I almost got some girl in the face with the cup and the Twizzler.
I have to say the worst part of the Twizzler straw experiment was the taste of the Twizzler straw. Because when we were in the pre area in the tent, I tasted one of those and I was like, this is disgusting.
I think Twizzlers are good. No, it's a Twizzler.
They're all right. They taste kind of plasticky.
Like eating rubber, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think, Megan, one of the key realizations we had out there was that, one, you can't use a straw that is bendy and can possibly close and the hole can close.
Mm-hmm.
And then two, it needs to be shorter for the cup.
I think,
so we need like a firm, shorter.
Could you just take a regular plastic straw, snip it in half?
You could, but that's less fun.
Yeah,
it is way less fun, but it'll work.
Yeah. So we're not saying the straw doesn't work. We're saying a soft Twizzler long straw does not work. So I guess we'll have to try again.
Yes. Yeah, we'll have another experiment.
You heard
marathon day.
Sure did. Yeah. No, it was...
All right. I feel like that's enough talk about New York City Marathon. We have some listener questions to answer and also a comment first. I guess we'll put the comment out there first. This is for you, Thomas.
All right.
From rhymes with Don. Shauna. She said, P.S. One of the episodes around Boston, Thomas was wishing that there was a way to have electrolytes in his pre-race coffee. And I wanted to say that Element Chocolate Salt is meant to be drank hot and is great in coffee, as well as their chocolate medley limited winter flavors. And guess what? We just got a box of
chocolate
yesterday.
Chocolate caramel Element.
Haven't tried it yet, but...
Here's my question, though. Like, regular Element, I got to mix in with like 20 to 30 ounces of...
It's very salty.
...of water. Mm. This chocolate one better, like, do I have to drink a gallon of coffee with it?
Or maybe you need to start with like half of a packet in your cup of coffee. I would try half.
Yeah.
All right, I'm down to try it. I'm down to clown.
Yeah. I knew you guys had some. That's why I was like, we need to try this.
And we talked to that one guy who had electrolyte coffee.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm saying for race day, the Element thing would work because you could carry it with you.
Yeah.
Like we were in a tent. That would have worked pre-tent. It's not gonna work like brewing my own coffee.
Yeah, especially if you're traveling for a race and stuff. Yeah.
Speaking of which, hey, what the F is going on with hotels that they're not having coffee makers in them anymore?
Not okay.
This is ridiculous.
Not okay.
Like the last two hotels we stayed at, where were we? Was Chicago? During the Chicago Marathon. Mm-hmm. No
coffee maker
in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go to New York. No coffee maker in the room.
This is a real problem.
They had the lobby opened up at 4:30 for coffee, but we were getting on the...
Also, there's like 4,000 or 5,000 people staying in that hotel and one tiny coffee shop. That ain't going to do it.
And then you have people ordering special coffees.
And I don't know about you guys, but like I don't want to get dressed right away. I want to drink my coffee in my pajamas. And I'm not sure we're allowed to leave in our pajamas.
I want to put a TV show on that's like...
Just chill.
And lay in bed, sip the coffee. Yeah.
Yeah. Read a newspaper if they still had those.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, scroll the gram.
Yeah. Did you know I delivered newspapers when I was a kid?
Makes sense. Living out there in Norman Rockwell land.
Ohio.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm.
Were you good? Like, were people satisfied with their service?
Well, we used to have certain places that each person needed their... Like, you had to remember that so-and-so wants it on their porch and this person wants it somewhere else by their back door. So I did good at that, but I did not do good at weekends. Sometimes I would sleep in and not get my papers delivered on time, and then my brother would do it or my dad would do it.
Wait, how old were you when you stopped doing it?
I think I was in middle school, so like 12, 13.
Okay,
that's good. Yeah, anyways.
Think about
total
all the job
digression.
Loss. To that, like that used to be the intro job for children of entrepreneurial skills.
There you go.
Okay, let's maybe answer a few questions here. Okay, this question is from Mark. He said, "How many carbs are expended per hour during a marathon? This
Two.
Would provide perhaps a better idea as to how many gels are needed per hour." Okay, yeah, but we always hear it's 100 calories per mile.
Right. So Mark phrased this different than anyone's ever asked me this. And I was like, I'm sure someone else is thinking about this the same way Mark is. This isn't how my brain works. But I was like, I feel like this is kind of an interesting discussion, right? Because, you know, we talk very differently about energy burn, right? So he wants to know, how many grams of carbs am I burning so I know how many grams of carbs I need to eat per hour? We talk about that range of like 30 grams to 120 grams of carbs an hour. Like, how in the world are we supposed to know how much we actually need? So he's asking, he's like, how much do I burn, right? So taking it a little bit of a step farther, obviously we burn not just carbs, but we burn fat when we're running. So it's never going to be just carbs, which is why we probably don't talk about it in that perspective. But like you just said, Meg, like most of the research shows that we burn like 100 calories per mile, which would be both the fat and the carbs. We know that professional runners are probably much more efficient and probably burn less than 100 calories per mile. But I wanted to find out a little bit more about that. So I found a really interesting research study that looked at both men and women, and then Caucasians, African Americans, and Asians is how they kind of grouped things by race to figure out like how many calories per mile are people burning. And for the most part, it was right around 100. Now, none of these were, you know, professional runners or anything who might have adapted a little bit more. So across the board from this research study, like it was pretty clear, you know, that it is, you know, around 100 calories per mile. But the factors that Thomas was mentioning is what we burn is dependent on intensity. So if we're running the New York City Marathon like Thomas, we're burning more fat. If we're running it like someone who won the race, we're burning more carbohydrates. So a lot of it's going to depend on how hard we're actually running out there. Wait, what we burn.
I'm so excited. So there's a benefit to the way that I ran the New York City Marathon. I should put this in my story on the gram. I burn more fat than you, bitches.
So, assuming that someone is running at an intensity that is their fastest marathon pace for their fitness level, right? So that doesn't mean it's a certain time for everybody, but just for our specific selves, if we are running a marathon as fast as our fitness allows us, we're probably burning about 75% carbs per mile. So if we extrapolate that and do all the math, because I was actually very curious, that would mean that if Mark is running like 7 miles per hour and is very, you know, casually burning 100 calories per mile, he's burning 131 grams of carbs per hour, which is way more than anyone can even take in, right? So again, this is just a little case study here. Lots of variables would change all of this. But I thought it was kind of cool to put that out there, right? So if we're saying we need 30 to 120 grams of carbs an hour, and someone running 7 miles per hour could potentially be burning over 130 grams of carbs an hour, like we're never able to take in as many grams of carbs as we're actually burning.
I think I have an analogy for this.
Yeah.
Okay, you and Megan, you guys happen to be sports cars.
Yeah.
Burn very fast, you know, you're gonna go fast. Now, I might be a Ford F-150. Not gonna reach the top speeds that you guys are gonna go. But to get to where we're going, I'm gonna have to put the pedal down as well. Mm-hmm. For the most part, we're both gonna burn gas, even though we're not going the same speed. So how far you get depends on how fast you're going and how much fuel is in the car. And it's going to run out eventually. Might run out really fast if you're really going like pedal to the metal. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the F-150. It's not going 200 miles per hour. Mm-hmm. But it's still moving. Mm-hmm. Still burning that gas. And it's just going to be, that's how you would look at the rate of burn. Like, okay, the tank is still going to empty at a certain point. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't necessarily equate to how fast you're going. It's how fast you're engine is burning
or how hot your engine is burning.
Yeah.
Right. And you
that
know,
work?
Yeah. But unlike a car, we have, I guess you could say we have different fuel tanks, right? We have fat, we have carbs. And then if we break down carbs, we have our glycogen stores, which is why we carb load. And then we have the gels we're taking and our blood sugar. So we can, I guess you could even bucket it into three places that we're pulling those carbohydrates from. So all of this analogy of how many grams of carbs Mark is burning is just a really good reminder that we can never take in enough grams of carbohydrates per hour or per mile. We have to rely on those glycogen stores as well, which is why we push carb loading so hard around here, because at some point we're maxing out, right? We're burning more carbohydrates than our body can absorb per hour. We know that we can only bring in so many grams of carbs per hour into our GI system and, you know, into our body. So we have to make sure that we've got some glycogen on board as well. So this is why kind of across the board, we make generalized grams, you know, how many grams of carbs should we take in per hour? Because it's more so it's limited that our body can only use so many. It doesn't necessarily mean to Mark's question that's all we're burning. Most of us are burning significantly more grams of carbs per hour than we can actually ingest.
All right, but Phil Maffetone says.
Well, and this is
fat for fuel.
This is the same like this applies to hydrating as well in a sense, mm-hmm. because we're gonna sweat way more than we can possibly take in out there, which is mm-hmm. why we suggest to always hydrate before and with electrolytes and sodium so that you're hanging on mm-hmm. to a little bit more.
Right. Right.
Okay, New York was last year was extremely hot and humid. So definitely everybody, you were sweating before you got to the line. Like yeah. as you were in the corral, you were drinking.
Yeah.
This year, it was a little cooler. It warmed up towards the end, but not significantly. Like mm-hmm. still within the race, levels mm-hmm. of racing. How much do we have to be concerned with hydration when the temperatures are closer to like 50? Do we still have to, be as diligent with water stops and...
So a lot of that's going to depend on our sweat rate, right? So I was out there longer, so I actually took more fluid there than I took in Berlin because I refilled my handheld and I didn't refill it in Berlin. And it was similar weather both places. So in my mind, I was like, Megan, you're going to be out there at least a half hour longer than you're used to. You need more fluid. And I said to Meg when we got back to the hotel, I was like, why didn't you tell me I'm covered in salt? I had these, like, I've never seen so much salt on my face. And she looks right at me and she goes, well, what were you going to do about it? I'm like, touche. Good point. I could have done nothing about it if you told me. But I was, I couldn't believe how crusty salty I was. Like, it was warm out there. It really was.
Yeah. By the way, that is Megan's philosophy.
What were you going to do about it? If
you can't do something about it, then let's not talk about it.
It was so good.
She can't fix the problem right then.
Why are we talking about it?
Relax. So good. It was so good. His classic Meg.
Hey, your arm fell off. Yeah. What are you going to do about it?
What are you going to do about it right now? You couldn't fix it.
Before it fell off.
Right.
No, but then psychologically, if you're like, oh, geez, all this sodium loss, like then maybe you go into panic mode, you know?
True.
Everyone's just got to relax.
True. That's very true. Everybody. Actually, I got him.
Keep your composure.
Relax. I got a message from somebody I was just reading when we were having technical difficulties, and she only used Body Armor out there, which we've talked about has like no sodium. And then she used like water and just a couple sips of Gatorade on course. And she said she got really, really sick and like almost didn't make it home on the subway. And she was wondering what it was. She said she was covered in salt, and like 100% that's a symptom of too much fluid, not enough salt. She probably was starting to get like some low sodium going on. She said she was dizzy. She thought she was going to throw up. She was disoriented. That means we need more salt. If you're covered with salt and you're not taking it in enough, you need more.
Do you ever feel like you need to shake people? Like, I said this 100 times. Eat a graham cracker. Take in some salt.
Remember, you didn't think we'd have enough to talk about to make a nutrition podcast? We just have to keep talking about the same things so people listen.
I didn't think neither of these podcasts, I thought we'd ever have people listening. I'm like, I'll do it. Whatever. I got an hour.
Let's do it.
It was great because at your carb box thing, one of the ladies that came up clearly was excited to leave her kids in the care of her husband and was excited to be in the city.
Aww.
You know.
Yeah.
But she's from New York and she's like, I listen to your podcast. I love it because you guys don't bullshit. You get straight to the point. I don't have to like do all the fluff. And she goes, you call people out.
That's us.
I love it that a New Yorker is like, all right, let's go, let's roll.
We're their speed. Yeah, I love it.
Okay, let's answer another question. This one is from Brandon in Boston. He said, hey guys, 5-time marathoner with a question on gels. I've used various brands, Goo, Honey Stinger, Martin's for the last 2 marathons. Aside from my first marathon, NYC, I haven't, quote, bonked at all, but I never really feel a burst or jolt of energy when taking the gels. I assume they're working regardless since I'm feeling pretty good all the way through and have been able to PR each marathon, most recently 3:44:34 in Berlin. Miss seeing you, Feathers. Am I doing something wrong? Thanks and love the podcasts. Brandon.
So I like this because I hear this all the time, and especially from clients that I work with. They're like, I hear you guys on the podcast talk about how you like feel when you've taken a gel, and I don't feel that. Am I doing something wrong? So I think some of us are going to feel, quote unquote, taking a gel differently. But what I really wanted to talk about was when Meg and I were racing, I talked about in Berlin that I was taking gels more soon because I felt like I needed them. And Meg said the same thing. She felt like when she was at that pace that was a little over her skis for the first half of Chicago, she was fueling more often because she got that burst. So I do think the whole fueling piece, we feel more when we're burning more carbohydrates, kind of back to our last Mark's question. So if we're out there taking it a little bit easier, and not saying Brandon was at a 344, maybe he was, you know, at his top speed. But I do think when our body needs those carbs more, we feel it more. So I'd be curious for Brandon to play around like in a much higher intensity workout in his next training cycle. Do you notice like the punch of carbohydrates from that? It's just possible that some people might just not actually feel it, right? I think that's a total possibility.
I mean, it also has to come down to metabolism. Like we talk about when it kicks in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I think there's a psychological component to it, but I also think that there's sometimes maybe in certain times, I'm getting there faster. And I would agree with you. What I would challenge him to do is when he's doing his next speed workout, and you probably don't normally take a goo with you for or any kind of gel with you when you're doing an 8 mile workout that has, you know, 2 miles of speed in it or something. Mm-hmm. But next time you go, wait till you're midway through your speed session, down a gel, and just see if you feel a little bit better or if those second set feels a little more manageable. And it could be two things. It could be psychological, like we've talked about, because Feathers will tell you it's going to take 10 minutes for it to kick in anyway. But for me, if I'm doing a workout and I just want to feel a little extra boost, sometimes I don't feel like I need a gel at all. If it's like 8 miles, I don't normally feel like I need a gel at all. But I've gotten into the habit that if it's a good workout, it's going to be a workout that I care about, midway through I take a gel just for the health. What's the difference of 110, 120
right.
calories in the thing, and why not play with it? Mm-hmm. So I would try it during a harder workout and see if you don't get at least a psychological boost.
Yeah, because I mean, I was thinking about this when I was reading his question. I don't remember feeling a hit from the gel in New York. Did you, Meg?
No, not at all.
I think
it's just the fact that we didn't bonk or slow down. It's almost like nothing changed drastically in a negative way, and that's how you know that they're working.
Okay, but okay, let me ask you a question. So this one, you weren't working as hard.
Mm-hmm.
So you were taking gels because of you knew in your head you knew that you needed fuel to run.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't like when you're running hard, and Megan said at the beginning of Chicago she knew she needed a gel a little earlier. You are predispositioned to be like, I need that fuel. Like you feel like you're getting depleted. And I think that that's something that comes with experience and
that's
as
true.
You get dialed into your body. And not that 5 marathons isn't a lot, Brandon, but you know, as you run more and you put on longer miles, and if this becomes your lifestyle, which it sounds like it is, you're going to become more in tune with your body. And it took me years before I was like, oh, that little tickling, that little feeling of like the needle twitching a little bit, inside my head, that means take a goo now. And I used to be like, well, it's not time. I'm like, take it now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think that's all fair points. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Let's get one more question here. This one is from Liam McCarthy from the UK. He said, hello, I'm a longtime fan of the show, coming to it from BITR and The Drop. My wife and I really enjoyed meeting the whole team in Boston. Can't wait for more of the same in New York, 1 week out at the time of writing. Living in the UK, I have always used science and sport. But from listening to you and running 2 US majors so far, Boston, Chicago, I noticed that Morton is the fuel of choice. However, I wondered what you thought about SIS products, particularly the electrolyte gel. These enable a good amount of sodium and carbohydrate on the go and are perfect texture. I noticed that these are the supplier at New York, which is so good to see since they're the biggest company in the UK by far. If you hadn't tried it, maybe you could there. I use the Hydro tablets for sodium, Go Energy and Go Electrolyte powder for drinking, Protein 20 bars for recovery, and Beta Fuel for long and high intensity efforts. 80 grams of carbs per serving. I love what you're doing and can't wait to hear what you think of these products, which in my view look a better proposition than Morton. Maybe an unpopular opinion. Good luck for the race to all of the team, Liam.
So I don't think any of us use SIS. I've tried one of them before, not this time, but it is, I think the big thing here is we have different products available to us in different countries. So I work with people all over the place, and it is really hard sometimes in other countries to find something that works for somebody because it's like things that I'm not familiar with. So we have to look it up. And what do I look for? I look for sodium, carbs, and then just kind of the ingredient list to make sure there's nothing funky added to it, because we've seen that sometimes. But what I did notice about SIS is they have a ton of different products. So if we're keeping in line with kind of our message here that we need to make sure we're getting enough sodium, we're getting enough carbs, we're getting enough fluid, their stuff varies a ton. So none of their products are quote unquote high in sodium. So even their electrolyte gels only have 100 milligrams of sodium, which we've talked about on here that high sodium gels are 200 milligrams per gel. So some of their stuff has no sodium. Some of it has 100 milligrams of sodium. And then, in my opinion, it looks like a lot of their products do kind of mimic some of the Morton products. Like, they have that 80-gram drink that has the maltodextrin and the fructose, which is exactly what the Morton 320 is. It's just that SIS's is flavored instead of unflavored. So I do see a lot of similarities between the two companies as far as some of the products that they offer. There are some things that I don't love about some of the SIS products. So their Go gels all have artificial sweeteners in them, which I find very odd, because we don't need artificial sweeteners. We need carbs. So it's obviously there for a flavor piece, but I have a lot of people with sensitive stomachs, so I'm not going to recommend something that has artificial sweeteners while they're running, because that can potentially upset things, you know, a little bit further. And then their hydro tabs that he mentioned had a sugar alcohol and artificial sweeteners. So again, that's not something I would recommend during. But then they do have a powder that's similar to Scratch or Gatorade that does look good, right? So I think I wanted to mention this because it's important to look at a specific product, especially when a company has a ton of them, and just make sure that you like the ingredients in them, because this is a great company. It's a good example of they have a lot of different products and with a lot of different things in them. You know what I mean? So it's just making sure that it meets your needs and doesn't have a bunch of extra stuff in it either.
So yeah, I mean, it's like he's asking why we're using Morton when there's this potential other product. But I mean, at the end of the day, it comes down to personal preference.
Right. And I don't know. I remember somebody, I feel like maybe Brandon grabbed one of these before maybe the Bronx 10 miler, and he squeezed it and it was like white instead of clear. And I noticed, did you notice on the ground in New York City, there was like white gels coming out of, so I'm like, why is it white? And I don't know. I just, I was kind of creeped out. You got something to say, T.
I know what you're saying.
No, we don't like that.
I don't know. I was just like,
okay, thank you all for listening, if you're still here. if you have a question that we haven't answered, you can go ahead and send us an email at fuelforthesoulpodcast@gmail.com, and we will answer it here on the show. All right.
Bye.
Can I say something different, or you got to go with it?
Bye.
You got to do the regular?
Do whatever.
Broccoli and onions.
Yeah. Soup and nuts.
That's it?
No, peas and carrots, people. Enjoy your day. Have a good one.
Oh, Lord. Kick us off.
What do I say?
Your name.
No. Thomas Neuberger.
Come on. Megan, are you still there? You're frozen. What is happening? Megan.
That's going to get cut out.
Yeah.
Sure that is. Got cut.
Sure
is. It's a sack of...
Oh my god. Didn't it look like that though? Did you see it?
It did. I didn't want to step in it. I was like, what's going on? And it was in the area where there was a lot of
Wait, do you ever wonder if somebody tampers with your lotion at or like your shampoo and there's the big jugs in the hotel rooms? I'm like, what if somebody was breathing in those?
Now I'm going to. Oh shit, I never thought of that.
I ruined it.
Weird.
Yeah. Oh my god, I never thought of that.
I'm sorry. I just ruined something for you.
I'm never going to be able to shower again. That's scarier than Psycho.
And now I'm sitting here alone, just talking to my mic. But I love you guys. Mwah. Just wait for you to come back. It's a one-woman podcast show.
It should be nice and long and hard.
Thanks, Thomas.
Yeah.
We need outtakes.